You are now listening to
Chakras and Shotguns.
Welcome back to Chakras and Shotguns, episode 12. I'm Mick.
And I'm Jen. Welcome back.
So how you doing today, baby?
I'm doing okay. I'm making it. Lots going on as always, you know? I was actually reading this article in the Wall Street Journal about people taking advantage of being able to work from home and actually picking up another full-time job. And while that sounds absolutely ridiculous, the trick to it, the gag is they're only working probably collectively 40 hours a week. Like, basically, they're doing enough so they don't get fined. So just like doing the bare minimum on both so they don't get fired. And I mean, these people, these are like corporate office jobs. And so these people are like planning to make like half a million this year.
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild. And for what I do professionally, it probably would take a little bit too much subterfuge to actually accomplish it. But my takeaway from that article was probably find joy in doing what you want to do. I'll tell you this. It made me feel a lot less guilty about indulging in a 2-hour massage during the week. That I could get away and go do that.
No, I love that. Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it. It's like, yeah, it's great that folks are like empowering themselves and finding ways to like bring in more money. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. It's like, I would rather people find the time to relax if they weren't going to like be working. It feels almost like this productivity thing where like we base our worth on how productive we are. And someone was like, oh, I have these extra hours where I'm not really doing nothing because I'm at home and it's not necessarily, you know, I'm not necessarily needed with this one job. Let me fill that space with another job to get more money and be more productive. You see what I mean? It's almost like, I don't know, I see both sides of it almost. Like, great that you're getting more money, but I'd rather you go meditate.
Yeah, I mean, like, there definitely was one guy who I think he was expecting to make like 500 grand or something, and he works 100 hours a week. And his wife is like, how much longer can you do this? And he's like, I know, but then every other week that check clears. And I think that's very traditional American capitalist.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not commuting. I could be more productive. I could be making 2 full-time jobs salary.
Yeah.
I definitely think there are people, though, who are like, how long can I skate on both jobs doing the bare minimum?
Yeah.
And cashing in?
No, it's interesting. I mean, it's still the same paradigm of trading time for money, which, you know, we've just been conditioned here to think about our lives, right?
Right.
So it's interesting. Yeah, that is a fascinating article, though.
Yeah, I think we're kind of coming up on a reckoning in traditional corporate America as to what are employers incentivizing their employees to do. The buy-in, the loyalty, the dedication, like I'm on this company's team. We're seeing that quickly fading. The close personal relationships that we have with coworkers. I mean, if you're friends with your coworkers, I don't know. But the close personal relationships that you develop, like, those are harder to maintain when everybody's remote. And so I think as we talk about on this podcast, we're all coming back inward in this time as we're, like, spending more time at home. But also, you know, maximizing that time to be with family, do a hobby. If you want to do a side business, but every hobby doesn't have to be a side business. It's just, I think it's interesting to see. And I think some of these employers, if they're not nimble, you know, they're going to quickly find their workforce is like, you know, seeing them as a means to an end, right?
No, definitely. I think we've gotten a taste of freedom by not having to go into the office in a lot of cases. And you see a lot of folks either deciding they don't want to ever go back or finding new things that work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. Well, let's jump into our breath work before we get into our main topic today.
Yes.
I will take that one this week. So what I'd like to do, I want everyone to get into a comfortable sitting position. Let's sit up with our spine nice and straight. And I want you guys to take some nice deep breaths. So let's do three nice deep breaths. Now I want you to relax and let your eyelids softly close. And this will be an awareness exercise. I want you to bring your awareness to the center of your forehead. And with your eyes closed, gazing into that darkness behind your eyelids, gently look up towards your forehead. And let's take about 20 to 30 seconds and breathe deeply while we have our awareness focused on this area. If you feel your mind wander, just gently remind yourself that you're focusing on that area in your forehead. Slowly open your eyes. If you have a pen or your notes app on your phone nearby, just take a moment to jot down how you were feeling, if you saw anything, if any emotions came up, just to note how that experience felt. All right. We'll get into the main topic.
Thanks, Meg. So we're continuing our chakra series. We covered the first three chakras in episodes 4, 5, and 6, and the heart and throat chakras in episodes 9 and 10. So if you want to listen to them in order, check out those episodes if you haven't already. Today, we're discussing the third eye chakra. Open up your third eye, fam.
Yes, indeed. This is probably my favorite chakra to talk about. I remember when I went and got my aura read, we talked about it in the solar plexus episode. They kind of have this output where they show a graph of all of your chakras and they kind of measure you based on a scale from 0 to 10. And my third eye was at a 9. So like my third eye is like super open. I'm really tapped into the energy of the third eye. It's one that I just like, I love. I get excited about.
Nice.
Yeah.
A little pop culture moment. That Atlanta episode.
I just looked at that video.
The Atlanta episode where it was...
it was like a TV show.
Yeah, Paperboy was being interviewed and they had fake commercials throughout. What did the guy say?
He said, most people don't realize their chakra is on another planet. Open your third eye. And the dude, you know, has like the fake testimonials on there. And it's like, he works. He really works.
Oh my gosh. And I remember watching it and being like, what in the world? And yeah. Now look at us.
Now look at us.
3-4 years later. Yes. So the third eye chakra is known as the sixth chakra, the brow chakra. And the Sanskrit name for it is ajna, which translates to authority or perceive. It's located on the forehead between your eyebrows. And the color of the third eye chakra is indigo, which, if you don't remember from grade school, is kind of a mix between blue and violet.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you weren't clear in the breath work, what I was doing, I was basically trying to, as we were looking at our forehead, tap into that third eye energy. So the energy of the third eye is all about the psyche, your mind, your conscious and unconscious psychological energy. That's all related to the third eye. In one of my favorite books that I talk about all the time, Anatomy of the Spirit, the author talks about how this chakra houses what we know and what we believe to be true. And so that's like a combination of our experiences, our facts that we've kind of learned, our fears, and memories that are kind of all within this mental energy body.
Nice. Additionally, it's, of course, connected to the mind. So wisdom, insight, this is that inner picture or visualization that we're able to create in our mind, and intuition.
Nice. Yeah. And so biologically, so it's connected to your neurological system. It's connected to your eyes, your ears, your nose, and the pineal gland.
So the pineal gland, it's shaped like a pine cone, which is where it gets its name from. Your pineal gland produces serotonin and melatonin. So when you first wake up in the morning, now all of this is assuming you're not on some nocturnal schedule. When you first wake up in the morning, serotonin tells your body to wake up and start your day. So it makes you more alert and like ready to get the day going. Melatonin in the evening slows down your brain waves. So that's what makes you sleepy and makes you like you're not overly thinking. You're not analyzing and like taking things apart. You're starting to relax. And melatonin induces REM sleep. So rapid eye movement sleep. And when you hit a REM cycle, that's what gets you to dreaming. So a segue on sleep, because we talk about the immune system all the time, stress all the time. If you are hyped up, if you are high stress, that releases cortisol. And that hormone, when those levels go up, there's an inverse relationship between stress hormones like cortisol and melatonin. So the more stressed you are, the less melatonin that you can create. So if we're taking it back to hunter and gatherer time, let's say you saw a couple of wolves while you were walking around in the forest and you're like, the pack's got to be around here somewhere, but I got to go to sleep. You're probably not going to be able to sleep because your body is like, well, don't let her fall asleep. Because if the pack is, you know, you don't want to be in a deep sleep if there's a predator around. So that is the primal function of melatonin tapering off if your stress hormones are up. However, in our world, our 21st century world, we're stressed about an email we got. Like, why are they emailing me at 10:30 at night? Or you got into an argument with your significant other. Or you're stressed about bills or any of the myriad of things that we're stressed about. And you're thinking about those things, you're stressed, you're releasing cortisol. You're not getting melatonin to get into a deep, restful, restorative sleep. Sleep is good for our health, right? And I actually read once, I think a lot of times we're like, oh, I only slept 5 hours tonight. I'll catch up tomorrow. I'll sleep in on Saturday. But you actually can't ever recoup that sleep. Like, you can never get it back. Like, eventually, yeah, you'll start to feel more well rested. But like, once it's gone, it's gone. So just be mindful of that. I think a lot of times we're like, oh, I'll power through this week and I'll only sleep a few hours, or oh, I only need this many hours of sleep. Like, really be real with yourself as to, do you feel restored? Do you dream? Are you on the surface level of sleep? Like, are you really getting into there's like different types of brain waves, and like the slower your brain waves are, the better your sleep is. So just think about that. Some of you might even need to consider a sleep study. I don't know. But when, like I said, when you're worried about your boss or the fight you had with your boo, your body's in survival mode. So I think people think about melatonin as like this gummy you can take if you have insomnia, or they even make them for kids. I think I saw a tweet one time where it was like the kid was like, TT, my arm is numb. And they were like, that's because it's working, baby. But melatonin actually has more pros than just making you go the fuck to sleep. So it can actually increase your metabolism. So going back to the example I was saying, if you're stressed, your body is like, we don't know when we're going to eat again because this heifer is on the run. So let's store these calories as fat. So melatonin is, you know, the more your melatonin goes up, it's like, oh, she's not stressed. Then it can increase your metabolism. It can lower triglycerides. I just had my annual physical. Triglycerides are important in that blood work. It can keep your arteries from hardening. It can heighten your immune response, which we all need these days, right? Decrease the development of certain tumors. In lab rats, they actually saw that melatonin increased their lifespan by 25%. It can activate a neuroprotective role in the brain. It can, if you're vain, stimulate anti-aging and antioxidant hormones. So, you know, get your skincare game up, get your melatonin up. It can also promote DNA repair and replication. So I say all of that to say, bitch, take a nap. Take a nap.
That's kind of what I was saying earlier, right? When we were talking about like the folks with two jobs, it's like, nah, dog, don't get your, what's the other one called, with the stress hormones up by having a whole other job.
Yeah.
And getting even more emails, like, go take a nap. If you got some extra time during the day, you're not commuting, get your melatonin on.
Yeah. Because some of them were saying, like, even though they're skating, it's high stress because they have to like constantly manage their schedule. And like, am I on this call at the same time? Did I go off mute at the wrong time? Did I show the wrong like employer information? Stop stressing. Go take a nap.
Yes, exactly.
Relax.
Cool. So the third eye is also associated with psychic abilities. So a fun fact that we found out on this journey, there's like a school of thought that basically we're all a little bit psychic, or that we can develop our psychic gifts. Maybe some of us naturally have certain gifts that kind of come to us more easily than others, but we can all kind of develop like the muscle of some of these psychic abilities. So just kind of a quick rundown of some of these psychic abilities. They're classified as clairs. And so wanted to just kind of give a brief overview of some of those. So first, clairvoyance. It's kind of the most well-known of the clairs. Clairvoyance means clear sight or clear seeing. So essentially you can see the future. And so that can manifest itself in a lot of ways. I think most commonly you hear about folks who have dreams, and those dreams a lot of times contain information that is, you know, seen in their day-to-day life, right? Some folks have what's called like symbolic sight, where they are kind of seeing everyday objects, but then those objects have a meaning that kind of pops out to them. Or some folks get visions in the daytime or during a meditation session. So, yeah.
I think also like I see dead people, not me, but I'm saying sixth sense.
Yeah.
Clairvoyance, like that sight of like seeing spirits, seeing deities.
Yeah.
I'd say that was probably under clairvoyance too.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to ask someone like how they classify that, but I think you're right. I think it is like channeling, mediumship, like all of that. Especially if you're utilizing your sight, would probably fall under clairvoyance.
Yeah.
Okay. Next on the list, clairsentience, and that means clear feeling. So that's kind of like being able to sense energy. So you go into a room and you're almost able to feel other people's aura or their energy. That could be people who are alive, or it could be spirits. Yeah, and you can almost feel like their emotions or their pain kind of coming off of them. You know, some people experience that as like a strong gut feeling or getting the chills for no reason. Yeah, Jen talked a little bit about being an empath on the heart chakra episode. And so I would, you know, I think that's a manifestation of clairsentience.
Mm-hmm. Or have you ever been around someone and you were just like, mm-mm. Like you just didn't feel right. Like you're just like, I don't. That happens to me sometimes when I watch Married at First Sight and I see some of the people that I'm like, mm-mm, I don't like it. And Mick's like, no, I like them. And then we watch the season and they're a hot mess.
Yeah, I think Married at First Sight is like a softball like example, but I feel like we'll be in person somewhere and you'll be like, mm-mm, I don't like,
yeah.
We'll meet somebody and Jen's just like, they haven't done anything or said anything that would indicate that they're shady, but like, she's like, mm-mm. I don't rock with them.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not trying to prejudge. I was trying to ask some more questions. Like, do you think I would be this person's friend? Do you think that I would want them as a friend? I don't know. Like, tell me some more about them. And then maybe it takes a while, a few years down the road. And I was like, well, you know, so that instinct.
Yeah.
That feeling. And then there's claircognizance, which means clear knowing. So this would probably look like you ever just know something. And a lot of times we write this off like I might finish mixed sentence or something like that. Or I'll be like, oh, I knew you were going to order that. And I just knew it. But then I'll say, but I mean, I've been with you for how long, you know? I just know you that well. Like, I knew that you would like that grilled chicken sandwich because Mick like grilled chicken sandwiches. So, but sometimes it's like, you're just like, I knew this person was going to call me right now. I knew that they were going to stop by. That's claircognizance. And, or it might be your claircognizance showing up. I also would put mother's intuition under this bucket too, where you just know something is wrong. And maybe let's be gender neutral, parental intuition. But like, you just know something's off with your child and you're just like, something's not right. I just know it. Mm-hmm. And we hear these stories time and time again where like a parent is like trying to get a doctor to look at their child. Like they're like, something's not right. I just know. And I think we write it off as, well, you knew your kid better than anybody else. But, you know, something's telling you, something is driving you beyond reason as to like why you're coming to this conclusion.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you said like make it gender neutral, but I actually think that a lot of this energy tends to be feminine, and not to say that men can't access it. We all have access to masculine and feminine energy. I just think women more naturally can tap into that feminine energy.
Mm.
And so I think that's why you hear it as mother's or woman's intuition. Yeah, I mean, thank you for being inclusive. but I think it's something that is like a superpower for a lot of women.
And I guess that's a continuation of the conversation we had on the heart chakra episode too. Men being able to tap into their divine feminine. And then there's an even larger conversation of like, as we try to be more neutral and be more inclusive, do some things need to be in their respective buckets? You know,
I think that's interesting. So what I've heard in the space is trying not to use the gender terms masculine and feminine because of the like the energy around that we see in like in our society right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I've heard people say yin and yang, right? Mm. So yang being referred to as the masculine and yin being referred to as the feminine, which kind of removes some of that like, I don't know, political correctness or like
however that language.
You want. Yeah, that language, you know, out of the mix. You kind of focus more so on the energy, right? So.
Because like yin and yang is also like hot and cold and some of those other different opposites that can kind of get the sentiment across.
Yeah.
I think also I'm like, as I'm walking myself, my own self back, mother, child, biologically, like there is a lot of energy exchange throughout like carrying a child. You know, there's studies that have shown that the baby feels every emotion that a woman has while she's pregnant. So good, bad, indifferent, they're getting all of those hormones, those emotions, like that's all coming across. And so then you add breastfeeding on that, like there's like a feedback loop from like what a child needs that they're telling the mother when they're on the breast. And like, so, you know, there's a lot at play for mother's intuition to come through.
For sure. For sure.
The next clairaudience. It means clear hearing. This one can, it's when you hear words, sounds, or music in your own mind's voice. And I remember when we were first starting in this journey and I was like reading through the clairs and I was like, you start to hear voices. What does that look like? Are they telling you things? Like, I think that can, that one can be scary. I think some people are scared to see like a dead person like appear before them, but I think also like hearing a voice, hearing someone call your name, like that can be a little frightening.
Yeah, no, I thought about this one a lot. I was like, where's the line in clairaudience and like mental illness? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how that like is delineated, right? Like,
right.
I haven't figured that out yet. I'm sure there's probably a book somewhere that I'll order on Amazon to to jump in and figure that out at some point. And I'll talk about it on the show at some point.
If there's a topic, Mink's got a book for it. I've thought about it too. And it's been a little tricky to talk about because I definitely don't want to discount anybody's experience with their mental illness. But I think that part of being on the spiritual journey has been for us an exercise of like unpacking a lot of things. Why do we think like this? Who told us this? And what does that all really mean? And yeah, this one, as soon as I heard it, I was like, okay, so yeah, where is that line? What does that mean? And is there a possibility that with the right guidance, someone would have been able to better handle something like clairaudience? Because I think it's very easy to be like, whoa, you're hearing voices. So
here's a prescription, right?
Here's like, a prescription, yeah. Right? But we definitely want to be responsible as to like what that looks like and getting that help. But I think there's also like trying not to have a myopic view of like, you hear voices, you got to check yourself into a psychiatric hospital. But like having the full array of like tools and resources and healers and people who may have more experience and could probably help you navigate that better.
Yeah.
So I did think also when we're talking about like where that line is and like how we might push one to the extreme, we hear Christians all the time talking about how they were praying, very like fervently praying for something, and they heard God clear as day tell them to do X, right? And thinking about it from like a general spirituality lens, like prayer can be a very deep form of meditation. And really, psychic abilities is our ability to receive spiritual information. So is that not also clairaudience?
I think it is. So it's definitely worth continuing to read more about. I just wanted to throw in the other clairs that are out there. So there's clairgustance, which is tasting substances without actually putting them in your mouth. And there's also clairolfaction, which is a psychic sense of smell. I feel like, you know, from what I've seen out there, those are less common. I don't see, you know, just a ton about them out there, but I mean, wanted to let the folks know that they do exist.
Yeah. And that's a little different from memory. Like, I've recently given up cheese and I could taste and beef, but I could taste a pepperoni pizza like right now. I don't think that makes me psychic in that way, but I could smell, like I can imagine what my favorite perfume smells. I think it's kind of like you're in your house and you smell like your deceased grandfather's aftershave and you just know, like, what is that? I've smelled like smoke before and have kind of been like, what is that? And I mean, like, do you smell that? And you're like, no. So yeah, those are interesting. Those are really interesting. Just a little bit about the science behind it. I kind of touched on it a little bit again, that psychic abilities is our ability to pick up on spiritual information. And so to tie it back to the third eye chakra, your pineal gland, it actually has the components for calcite crystals in it. So when those crystals are activated, you know, by meditation, focusing on your third eye, and we'll get into a little bit about that later, but the crystals basically act as an antenna. And so you're picking up on those higher frequencies that carry that type of spiritual information.
Yeah. So I saw that online somewhere and thought that was crazy. I was like, what do you mean there's crystals, pieces of crystals in our brain? And I like crystals, right? So I'm into like the whole rocks thing, but I just couldn't like get this idea that they were like actually inside our body. So I went and Googled, like, you guys can go and look, like type in pineal gland, calcite crystals, and like the NIH like has academic works where they talk about like these microcrystals of calcite in the pineal gland. Like, this isn't just something that like we read. Yeah, we like saw on a random YouTube video. Like, go and like just Google it and see, like, there are reputable sources, quote unquote reputable. We're kind of taught to believe that like science is the highest form of truth, which is a whole another topic we can get into about why that's sometimes problematic. But these scientific organizations that have reputations of, you know, studying and doing research, they even cite this as being the truth.
Yeah. And then like the fact that calcite is naturally occurring, like, I have a calcite crystal, you know, in our house, and that you can find it like in nature in different places is also like, I don't know, I start to have like these like meta moments where I'm like, whoa, like I kind of like have this bird's eye view of like this cliff, and there's like the crystals, and then there's crystals in my forehead, and like, what? So it's like one of those moments where I'm just like, that sacred geometry, like how things like appear in nature and stuff, I'm just like, this is all like this divine organization and like plan. And it's just, you know, mind blown.
For sure. So let's jump into a little bit about how you might know when your third chakra is out of balance. So starting first with physical characteristics. So you might be experiencing headaches, blurred vision, eye strain, issues with your hearing. And then emotionally, kind of in general, you might just have some moodiness, feel like you're volatile, kind of oscillating between different emotions, and then just like a lack of clarity.
So underactive indications of that third eye chakra that's imbalanced, a lack of concentration, an inability to self-reflect, and fear of the unknown. So remember, we were talking about our fears, our perceptions, and what that looks like. So if you're blocked, you know, you might just be kind of like bouncing around from thing to thing, but you can't really concentrate on anything in particular. And so it's that volatility, that lack of clarity that you're really struggling with. On the other hand, if your third eye is a little bit overactive and it's having too much energy being distributed, you might see too much. So you're like overly analytical, right? Every little thing, like, is this font 9.5 or is it 11? Anxiety, that, you know, you're worrying about everything. Well, what if I do this? And if I do this, what if that doesn't happen? And then I do this. And mental fog, probably because it's just like too much input, and you're just like, you may even start to like dissociate from it a little bit, like just like, it's just too much going on. I don't know really what's happening. So yeah.
Yeah, I think I fell into that overactive third eye in the past. It's something I've been getting better at, right? As I've improved some of my practices with grounding and meditation. But like, just being like overly analytical, always thinking on, you know, this scenario happening and that scenario. And I mean, I think it kind of feeds into the whole prepping thing, right? Like, you're like constantly looking at a lot of different variables and trying to figure out, you know, being overly analytical. Yeah, and that anxiety that comes with that. So definitely can relate to that. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how you can get your third eye chakra back in balance.
Yes. Meditation. So if you have not had the chance to listen to our episode 2 on meditation, we highly recommend it. It's going to tackle both an underactive and an overactive third eye chakra. So if we're blocked, it's either going to give you some mindfulness, like the ability to be still and to really like go inward and see yourself and have some self-reflection, some self-awareness. You're not distracted. You can kind of like work through whatever you may need to work through. So there's the underactive third eye chakra. And then on the other hand, the overactive third eye chakra, you're going to get some clarity. Maybe you can like sift through every little thing that you're seeing and say like, I'm going to just focus on this one thing. So you're not so anxious and spinning, and you're just letting yourself have time to just be still and not worry about everything that's coming at you. So that's, I would say, like general meditation and like general mindfulness and general like meditation for de-stressing and getting rid of anxiety. But if you were to meditate to solely focus on activating your pineal gland, it's an amazing thing to activate. Deep meditation, again, like getting your melatonin up, kind of slowing down those brain waves, like that space that you're in right before you start to fall asleep is like a great place to be for deep meditation, especially to activate your third eye chakra. And so if you're deeply in meditation and you're focusing on the spot in between your eyebrows, you can even like gently tap that spot like during meditation to kind of get it going. It can be really interesting, and it can lead to some transcendental experiences, like no drugs needed.
Yeah, no, it gets intense. I think just like doing the breath work that we did at the beginning of the show, it's led to some interesting experiences for us, right? So I kind of prompted folks to take notes about what they were experiencing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been some things that, you know, I've experienced during mine, like just seeing like what looks like almost like ink blots of different colors. So I've seen like deep purples. I've seen yellow in some instances, oranges, just like really like interesting patterns of colors. I think about like old school screensavers, the ones that just had like a bunch of colors and random stuff just kind of going on across the screen. It's almost kind of what it felt like or like what it looked like when I was experiencing a really deep like third eye meditation.
Yeah, I think I started out seeing some colors too. Almost like kaleidoscope like images, like things kind of spinning. If you remember what a kaleidoscope is and like what it looks like, I haven't seen a kaleidoscope in so long, but like for the millennials, you know, like those images where it's like they're blending together and they're coming apart and everything's kind of spinning, or like you see, like maybe you're in like, it feels like a tunnel. So those are some of the like things you may see. You may see somebody in there. I don't know. You may see an alien. I don't know. So,
yeah, certainly a lot of possibilities there for sure.
So if you find yourself in an experience like this, like you're in a deep meditation, you're trying to activate your third eye, you're kind of focusing on like that spot in between your brows, or even like the like center of your brain is kind of where it biologically sits. And you start to experience something, like you're seeing images or colors, I would recommend that you don't try and logic your way through it. Like, don't. I think a lot of times you'll say, like, what is that? Like, your brain is like, what is that? Is that a color? Are you really seeing that? Did your blindfold slip off? Like, if you have, like, an eye mask on or something, like, are your eyes open? Did somebody walk in the room? You'll lose it. It'll be gone. So let yourself be along for the ride. It's a spectator sport, and just kind of see what unfolds, and like just really just be open.
Yeah. I think finding a focus point is the key there, right? So you can turn your mind off, whether that's your breath or just putting your awareness in that space in your forehead. I think that's just, again, a gentle reminder. Hey, I know my mind is wandering. It's trying to do its thing where it, you know, calculates and computes and tries to solve problems and figure out things. You want to quiet that by going back to, okay, let's just focus on my breath. Let's just focus on the spot in my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's meditation. Wanted to highlight a couple of crystals. So one that's always talked about with the third eye is amethyst. So it's a purple colored crystal. It's really a great crystal for kind of helping with anxiety, calming you down, getting that melatonin flowing. So it's really great for helping to balance the third eye. My favorite crystal that I always go back to is labradorite. I have like three of them, and they come in different colors. Find one that really jumps out to you, but it's often cited as one that is great for the third eye. And then other crystals that have kind of like a bluish indigo color. I know we talked about a few during the throat chakra episode, but there's a few that kind of cross over into third eye as well. So things like kyanite or sodalite would be stones like that.
Nice. Yoga. Let's start off easy with one of my faves. Anybody should be able to do it, maybe. Child's pose. So the name actually comes from the relaxed sleep of a contented child. So this one, you would, I think the easiest way to describe it is if you started out on your hands and knees, widen your knees a little bit so you can accommodate like the width of your torso. And then with your hands still on the floor, kind of like push your butt down towards your feet. Of course, we'll have, you know, resources in the show notes for you to see exactly how to get into it. Downward dog is also a really good one for the third eye chakra. That one's where you're, I'd probably say like standing about hips width distance apart. You bend over, put your feet towards the ground and like walk your hands forward until, if you were looking at yourself from the side, you'd be in an upside down V shape. So you're not like in a push up, so you'd probably went too far, but like just so you're in an upside down V shape. If you have a little bit more experience with yoga, you want a little bit more of a strength builder, like this is really good for your shoulders, and you don't have any shoulder or neck injuries, you can transition your downward dog into a dolphin pose. And that's where you put your forearms, instead of your hands, you put your forearms down onto the floor. And if you can hold that, you're going to be very strong. And so that one's a really good one for your third eye as well.
All right. Affirmations for the third eye chakra. So I am open to wisdom within. I trust and follow my intuition. I can manifest my vision.
I like that. Also, pay attention to your dreams. A dream is not just a dream. I feel like I've said that before.
You have?
Maybe that's okay. I was like, is that deja vu? A dream is not just a dream. I think sometimes we're like, whoa, that was a wild dream. And like, I don't know what that means. And maybe there's a message. Maybe it's a premonition. Maybe it's something you need to work through on your own or with a therapist, like some shadow work that you need to do. And shadow work is really just like kind of working on the darker parts of yourself and your soul, right?
Yeah. So it's like all of the things that society has told us don't make us, you know, good people, basically. Those are contained in your shadow. So Carl Jung, the psychologist, he kind of pioneered the whole idea of having a shadow. So if you want to Google him and his thoughts, you can find more about shadow. And I know shadow work is kind of a hot, you know, term that you hear a lot in kind of mm-hmm. spiritual spaces. So yeah, it's really kind of, you know, coming to an appreciation and love for those things that you've hidden away because you didn't feel like they were socially acceptable.
Some people have even, I've heard anecdotally, people like working through some of that in their dreams.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And like waking up and being like, oh my gosh, like I was able to release that or forgive or, you know, at least come to some type of resolution in that work. So pay attention to your dreams. And then the last thing I would say is connecting with the element light. So one of the recommendations, fire keeps coming up, but candle gazing. So this would be you seated on the floor comfortably and you light your favorite candle and, you know, you, instead of focusing on your third eye, you're just focusing on the movement of that flame. And so at a minimum, it's just going to get you, again, to be still and to like quiet your mind and give you a focus point. But some other things might also come up.
Yeah. I mean, sunlight as well, right? For connecting with light is certainly another one. So you can kind of go ground outside in the sun on a clear day. Mm-hmm. Like you can kind of knock out a few different chakra balancing that we talked about in the past. Mm-hmm. Maybe you do it near water. Get all your elements in.
Don't look directly at the sun, though?
No. I just meant like get some sunlight.
No, yes. But I think when I was like looking up things, one of the things said sun gazing. And I was like, wait, what?
That is a thing. That is a thing that people do. I know I've heard from folks who look at the sun directly. I'm still kind of, you know, my elementary school teachers are still in my mind about like not looking at the sun. So I don't do it. I feel like it would damage my eyes. But
right.
Is that something I need to unlearn and figure out?
I don't know. Or are we conflating the eclipse? Because remember that last eclipse, it was like, don't do it.
Yeah.
And it was like Bird Box. Don't look.
Was it A$AP Rocky that messed up his eyes? It was somebody messed up their eyes looking at the sun during the eclipse.
Was it?
I think it was A$AP Rocky or...
I know Trump looked.
Was it Joey Badass? It was one of those rappers. I can't remember.
Anywho. So parting words on the third eye chakra. We're not trying to get all X-Files on you or what's it? Medium, that show used to come on NBC, but... Look, you might see an alien or ancestor in your meditation. I don't know. But the core about the third eye is about strengthening your intuition. And so building on the other chakras, it's just a deeper understanding of self, an intimate understanding of your inner world, and it's free of external distractions. So just to tie it back to like the past couple episodes, your heart chakra and like knowing how to give love and receive love and having good boundaries and speaking up for yourself. And like all of that is like empowering you as a person. And then you come into the third eye and like, you know, what's true. Like you can feel it, like you feel it internally. You don't really need these external factors to kind of tell you what is and what isn't. And so I think that's something beautiful to strive for and to try and achieve.
Absolutely. I'm just fascinated with things around creativity and creative thought, vision, seeing how people are able to be like visionaries in their field of whatever they work on. And I just feel like the third eye energy is all connected to that, right? Like how you can really get into the deeper parts of your psyche. I think about Inception, like getting into that deeper part of your psyche where some of that inspiration, some of those like super novel ideas, the things that really like move forward our like species, right? Mm-hmm. It's really housed in that energy of the third eye. So it just kind of gets me excited. And I love to just read about it and get into that energy. So,
or like how they talk about how we only use like 10% of our brain.
Yeah. Is that still true? I don't know. Like I've seen people try to debunk that and then like other people still like say it. And so it's one of those things where I don't know what's true with that, if that's real or not.
I mean, I think my takeaway from it is we get so caught up, especially in 2021, you know, with the world that we have in our phones and all of this access to information and how we're just inundated with information and obligations and go, 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 go and do, 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 do. And like, I'm always a little envious of the people who get time to just like sit and think and like philosophize about things or like, you'll see these people making these like crazy, like there's that guy who does the artwork with like a basketball.
I love that dude.
And he like paints upside down and you're like, what is this? I can't see it. I don't see it yet. And then he flips that thing around. It's Kobe Bryant. And he painted this thing with a basketball.
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope.
So I think of it in the sense of like, I think we have like a mode of operating. And in some sense, we're also kind of like subconsciously moving through life. Like you're driving and you like get to your destination. You're like, how did I get here? Lord, never would have made it. But like your subconscious is kind of like pushing you through life. And we're not like consciously being and consciously seeing and like really perceiving and taking in all of these things. Take some time.
Yeah.
Work on that third eye.
All right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Before we go, we did have another segment where we wanted to share another book selection from our book club.
Yes.
I'll let Jen jump in and talk about this one.
So a lot of the information when I was talking about the pineal gland was something I recently learned from this amazing book called Becoming Supernatural. It's by Dr. Joe Dispenza. And so the bulk of the book is about tuning your brain into the frequencies beyond this world. And if you know anything about quantum physics, like a very quick and dirty definition of quantum physics is like there is an infinite amount of possibilities of like things that could happen to you from the mundane to like the huge, right? Like instead of this white shirt that I have on, I could have worn a red shirt today in another reality, right? The multiverse, if you're into
the Marvel.
So like I could have worn a red shirt today, or I could have gotten in my car today and driven to Oklahoma and won $30 million at the casino. I don't know, but there's infinite possibilities. But it's all about like tapping into the frequencies of those possibilities, like the possibilities that you want, and like changing your frequency to kind of align with those frequencies. So really, it's like manifestation from like a scientific standpoint, but there's some really, really good anecdotes of how he's trained people through meditation to heal themselves. Like there's a really tragic story in the beginning of this woman, and she suffers a terrible loss, and the stress like really wreaks havoc on her immune system, and she's just going through all of these medical issues, ends up with cancer, and like starts doing the work of healing herself within, but also like really intense visualization exercises, and ends up healing herself from cancer and like walking back all of these health issues that came to her from, you know, this tragedy and this stress. And so he also talks about how like your body, the concept of your body doesn't know time, like your body, when you're reliving something that happened in the past and you're making yourself feel stressed and feel angry, and you're triggering those hormones and what that looks like. It's an amazing book. There was like so many gems in it. So many like really, really fascinating things about how powerful we really are that we might not necessarily be taking advantage of. Not to knock Western medicine at all, but some things that we also could be doing to like heal ourselves emotionally and even physically, like just making ourselves feel better from within by just like focusing on that possibility, which I just thought was amazing. But he has this whole chapter on the pineal gland and like how it's a crystal and activating it and like tuning into these frequencies that was just like really, really mind blowing. And I highly recommend it. I also think that if you read The Biology of Belief, which I recommended in an earlier episode, this one really builds off of it very well because it's talking about a lot of the same concepts. And I think having read Biology of Belief, it was easier to jump into a lot of the science in Becoming Supernatural because he's talking about epigenetics and quantum physics and some of these things, but he still does it in a very approachable way. So 10 out of 10, highly recommend. Yeah. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
And dope. I enjoyed how you kind of have taken some of the stories and like kind of parsed them out to me because I haven't read the book, but I know a lot of the highlights from just kind of talking about it with you. So it's definitely a book that eventually, once I make it through my stack of books, I want to pick it up off of your stack.
Yeah, I was actually about to buy a new book of Dr. Joe Dispenza's, and I said, I got a whole stack over there on Mixed Nightstand of books like, oh yeah, I'm gonna read that book. And I was like, I'm gonna go get one of his books.
Nice, nice. As always, folks, if you guys have any questions, have a dream, anything you wanna, you know, have us talk about on the show, shoot us an email, chakrasandshotguns@gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And check the show notes for anything that we mentioned in this episode.
All right. Namaste.